Good evening, everybody. Happy New Year. You're listening to UR Radio at Western North Carolina Community Media Center. I hope you stay with us for the next hour as we explore the teachings of Eckhart Tolle and his best-selling book, A New Earth, Awakening to Your Life's Purpose. Our show is called Conscious Co-Creating, Tools to Empower You. And I hope you join us every Thursday evening from 8 to 9 Eastern. My name is Louisa Dyer, and I'm a holistic counselor and metaphysical author who lives here in Asheville in Western North Carolina. And if you'd like to know more about who I am, please feel free to visit my website at louisadyer.com or louisadyer.net. And in the second half of the show, you're going to be able to submit any questions or comments you might have through the Facebook page for this show, and it's called Conscious Co-Creating Online Radio. And I'll do my best to respond during the show. And if you're hearing that music that I'm hearing, you're not crazy. There is a really great band who's in the other studio, and this little studio is obviously not soundproof. Anyway, let's see if we can have a show with this wonderful music going on in the background. My intention in doing this show is to have a whole lot of fun while sharing all the tools that are available to help us thrive instead of just survive. And there are lots of tools out there to do that. And if you're interested in personal growth or spiritual evolution, or you just want a life that's filled with more joy and peace, it's definitely possible. And it's actually awaiting only your choice to make it so. And hopefully what we discuss tonight will inspire you to begin living the life you've longed for, even more than you have been. So over the last couple of months, we've been exploring the work of David Hawkins and Byron Katie, two of my favorite teachers. And through them, we've remembered that all truth is knowable, and that how we ask questions makes a difference in the accuracy of any answers we get related to that truth, and that most, if not all, of the stressful thoughts we think aren't even true, and that when we question our painful thoughts, they're likely to just simply let us go. We can't actually stop thinking painful thoughts, but when we inquire about them, the way Katie says, the thoughts will let us go. One of the reasons I'm doing this is because I've studied metaphysics and all things spiritual since a near-death experience when I was 19, and so I've read just tons and tons and tons of this stuff, and I work a lot with people who are focused on their spiritual path. And what we hear from pretty much every spiritual teacher throughout all time is that suffering is actually optional. I mean, we really don't have to suffer, but we do. And so much of humanity continues to suffer most of the time, much of the time anyway. And so really my point in doing this show is to remind myself and everyone else that suffering really is optional, and to point out all the various, the many various tools that there are to help us get through that. So starting with the books by David Hawkins, The Power Versus Force is the name of the first book in a series that he did that's been translated into 25 languages and has in it a map of consciousness that will totally change the way you think about lower level energies. And also Byron Katie's work that we focused on, all of her work really focuses specifically on loving what is and learning how to question your own thoughts. And they're very different ways sort of to get at the same place, which is how to release that suffering. And so whenever we have courage, enough courage, to be willing to face whatever it is that's behind our suffering and get present with it, the suffering can stop. It just stops. And the ways that Hawkins and Katie teach are very different, and yet they lead to a very similar place of peace. And that's one of the great things about being alive right now, is that there are so many tools available, so much more than we've ever had before in the history of humanity, and they're all pretty easily accessible to most of us. So if one way doesn't suit you, you can try another until you find something that actually seems to work with you. And tonight, we're going to continue our discussion about Eckhart Tolle, which we started last week. And Tolle offers yet another perspective on where suffering comes from and how to be free of it. And all three of these people that I've mentioned, David Hawkins, Byron Katie, and Eckhart Tolle, they all have websites where you can explore the many numerous offerings that they have given to reduce humanity's suffering. All three of them are clearly enlightened beings. And actually, just hearing how they woke up is inspiring. I think it gives all of us a lot of hope, because when we hear the hell that they lived in before awakening, at least it gives me much hope that each of us can evolve beyond whatever pain we may be experiencing right now. And I'm actually going to be using Tolle's book again, A New Earth, for the show tonight. And we're going to be working with chapters 5 through 7. And hopefully we'll continue next week with the rest of the book. So if you want to pull out your copy of that book and go along with me, you're welcome to do that. I'd love audience participation, which you can do through the Conscious Co-Creating Online Radio Facebook page. And I'll be able to respond during the second half of the show. So if you didn't see or even hear about the thing that Oprah did with Eckhart Tolle, I think a couple of years ago, they had a 10-week series, amazing videos where Oprah and Eckhart sat and had a conversation, and like millions of people were online at the same time, and they did some meditations. And I'll tell you, there was quite nothing like that experience of meditating when you knew that like 70,000 people were meditating on the same thing while you were. I mean, I did a little meditation the other night when it was 11 o'clock on January 11th, 2011. There was this worldwide meditation that happened, and that was pretty cool. You know, and that was probably at the time I was meditating, there may have been 1,000 people. And that was really cool to connect in with. But I think even when you watch the videos that Oprah and Eckhart did, you can feel the power and the energy of those. There were like 70, 80,000 people online together at the same time. It was pretty phenomenal. But anyway, she still has those videos up on her website if you're ever interested in looking at those. I think they're well, well worth the time to do. And you learn a whole lot about how to actually create this new earth and how to awaken to what your life's purpose is. And I just thought the book was very exciting, and that's why I'm going through it. And so last week what we really did was we talked a lot about the ego, what it is, what it means, how to learn how to live beyond the ego, literally how to transcend the ego. And there's a beautiful, in the beginning of this book, there's just this beautiful evocation that Tolle writes about the flowering of human consciousness. And the idea is that, you know, it happens one flower at a time, and pretty soon everything is blooming. And it's just a beautiful way, I think, to start the book. And so that's what we looked at last week, was this flowering that is beginning to happen in humanity and the current state of humanity, literally where we are right now. And the core of ego, what it is, what it isn't, the roles that it plays. And there's lots to know about it. If you understand what ego is, it's a lot easier to notice it when it arises. And if you can be aware of it, then you can transcend it. If you don't know what it is, it's hard to be aware of it. And so the one thing I want to say about the ego before we move on and talk about the pain body is the ego is not your enemy. If there's any part of you that says, I want to get rid of the ego, that's just ego. That's just ego talking about getting rid of the ego. Presence or illumination or coming into a transcendent state is just about literally being present. And presence is what transcends ego. Ego cannot fight itself and make less of itself. It's just going to make more of itself. So the thing I think to take away from what we talked about last week was, don't fight the ego. Just become aware of it. The ego is not your enemy. It's just unconscious. It works much better if you have compassion for the ego when you notice it arising in you, because it is that compassion that's much closer to what presence is, to what divinity is, than any kind of fight you might want to have with the ego. And so the point of this whole book, A New Earth, is to see what the ego is, the content of it as well as the structure, to find ways to transcend the ego, all for the purpose of feeling, experiencing the peace and the bliss, the joy that really is our birthright. And it doesn't matter which teacher you work with, whether it's the three I named or any other teachers. Real teachers, that's what they're talking about, is how to come into the presence that we are, the power, the beauty, the peace. It's peaceful when we're actually resting in the presence that lives in the center of us. And when we're caught in ego, we can't rest in that presence. When we're caught in the pain body, we can't rest in that presence. And so the pain body is something that I talk about a lot with people who have read this book. And for people who haven't read this book, then the first thing I have to do is explain what in the world is a pain body anyway. Well, there are a lot of answers to that, but basically what the pain body is any unexpressed emotion that you have ever experienced in your life. If it's unexpressed, it's buried. You could call it unconscious. It lives in the very cells of your body. Therapists have always known that emotions are cellular. And so when people have emotion, they typically feel it in their bodies because emotions are cellular. And the pain body is any unexpressed emotion throughout your life, whether that was in childhood or young adulthood or at any point in time. Anytime, you know, you're driving down the road and somebody cuts you off and you get angry and you stuff it because you think, oops, I should not be angry. And so you stuff it. You just created more pain body. It's much better to own what's going on, be aware of it, and express it in some way, not act it out. There's a big difference in expressing emotion and acting out emotion. And so we'll talk a little bit about that. But I'm going to read a little bit from the book here in chapter 5, which is actually called The Pain Body. I'm going to read what Tolle says about this. He says, "The greater part of most people's thinking is involuntary, automatic, and repetitive. It is no more than a kind of mental static and fulfills no real purpose. Strictly speaking, you don't think. Thinking happens to you. The voice in the head has a life of its own. Most people are at the mercy of that voice. They are possessed by thought, by the mind." And so that's a lot of what we were talking about last week. That's the ego. And what Tolle says, and actually so does Hawkins and so does Byron Katie, is that it's through identification with what's happening in your mind that ego develops. Ego is like a false sense of self. And so when we're totally identified with our thinking, that's ego. And so part of what transcending the ego is to become aware of your thoughts and be the observer of them rather than just thinking that's you. And what emotion is the body's response or the body's reaction to what's going on in your mind. And so the fundamental difference between a real response, an instinctive response, like, you know, a tiger jumps up in front of you and you're afraid and you run. That's an instinctive response. That's what protoplasm does when it's confronted with something that is detrimental to itself. It gets out of there. That's an instinct. That's a response. That's not an emotion. An emotion is more an instinctive response. Let me just read how Tolle says this. He says, "An instinctive response is the body's direct response to some external situation. An emotion, on the other hand, is the body's response to a thought." And even though the body is really intelligent, it actually can't tell the difference between an actual situation and a thought. The body reacts to every thought as if it were a reality. It really doesn't get it that it's a thought. So if you're having worry, if you're having anxiety, if you're like tense in that kind of state, the body thinks that means I'm in danger. And so it responds accordingly. You know, your heart's going to beat faster, you're going to get warm, your muscles are going to contract, your breathing might become rapid. And there's this buildup of energy because the body's getting ready to get out of the way of whatever that danger is. The problem is that danger is just a mental fiction. And so the energy has no outlet. And so part of that energy is fed back to the mind, and it generates even more anxious thought. And so then it turns toxic, and it actually interferes with the well-being of the body. It really messes with the harmonious functioning of the body. And so this is actually part of how the pain body gets created, is this emotion that is generated and doesn't have an outlet. And so I want to read something else just so we're clear about this. Tolle says, "The ego is not only the unobserved mind, the voice in the head, which pretends to be you, but it's also the unobserved emotions that are the body's reaction to what the voice in the head is saying. And so that dysfunctional thinking is what the body reacts to with negative emotion. And so if the voice in the head is telling a story, this is awful, this is terrible, oh my God, what am I going to do with all this anxiety and everything, the body believes it. And the reactions that the body's having become emotions. And then those emotions feed energy back to the thoughts that created the emotion in the first place. And so that there's really this vicious cycle starts happening between unexamined thoughts and emotions. And that's the beginning, or that's how the pain body is created. And so it helps to understand really what is a negative emotion. I mean, what is that really? And I'm going to, again, I'm going to read a little bit from Tolle here to enlighten that a little bit. An emotion that is toxic to the body, this is what a negative emotion is according to Eckhart Tolle. An emotion that is toxic to the body and interferes with its balance and harmonious functioning. Fear, anxiety, anger, bearing a grudge, sadness, hatred, intense dislike, jealousy, envy, all of those disrupt the energy flow through the body. They affect the heart, the immune system, all the systems of the body. And if that's true, that negative emotions affect the body negatively, then do positive emotions have the opposite effect? Do they strengthen the immune system, invigorate the body, and heal it? And they do indeed. And so a lot of this book is talking about that process and how it happens. And the one thing I want to make a distinction of between emotion and actual states of being, because it's important to understand that to really understand the pain body. Emotions always have an opposite, you know? There's happiness and there's sadness. There's a good feeling and bad feeling. Emotions have opposites. There's excitement about the future, and then there's letdown or disappointment. And the deeper emotions are not really emotions, but they're states of being. And they don't have opposites. They emanate from the core of who we are. And those are love, joy, peace. They're aspects of your true nature. And when you're in touch with them, there is no opposite. You're in that state of being. And that's a real state. And that raises your level of consciousness. And so any negative emotion that's not fully faced and seen for what it is in the moment it arises, it doesn't completely dissolve in the moment. And it leaves behind a remnant of pain. And those remnants of pain that are behind strong emotion that are not fully faced, it's like they join together and form this energy field that actually lives in the cells of your body. And that energy field of old but still very much alive emotion that lives in almost every one of us, that's the pain body. And babies come into this world already carrying pain body. In fact, you know, some babies have a light pain body, some babies have a heavy pain body, and you can usually tell that when you're around the baby. But don't think that an infant with a light pain body is necessarily going to be more spiritual or happier or more advanced, because the opposite is often the case, that people with really heavy pain bodies actually have a better chance to awaken spiritually than those with a relatively light one, because we actually get to the point where we can't stand it. It's like, I have to do something because I cannot live with this anymore. And so the motivation to do something different and change really becomes very, very strong. And so what we're going to be talking here, now that we've talked a little bit about what the pain body is, so of course negative emotion, the pain body feeds on what we think of as negative emotion, whether that's drama or whether that's suffering or any kind of upset whatsoever. The pain body really feeds on that. And so we've talked a little bit about what the pain body is, and I think rather than talk any more about that, what I really want to do is talk about how to ease that, how to transcend that. And there's a very simple explanation for that that I'll give you before we take a little musical break, and then we'll come back and talk about that in much more detail. And that is, when you can become present with, meaning just observe, and at what you might call a negative emotion inside of you, when you can witness it, observe it, instead of falling into it and becoming identified with it, when you can just be present with it and notice it, presence shifts the pain body. You don't have to do anything. In fact, the ego can't do anything. But presence can literally transcend, transmute that negative energy into more loving presence. And so there's a way that the pain body is actually fuel for consciousness to raise itself up into a state of greater joy or peace or whatever it is that you're wanting to tap into in your own core of your true being. And so that's the basic understanding. The pain body is all that old negative emotion that is just present in everybody. It's individual, it's collective. And all we have to do is learn how to get present with it, and presence will shift it. And that is a beautiful, wonderful, amazing thing to know, and an incredible process to do, because it brings you into that experience of that peace and joy that lives in the core of you. So we are going to take a little musical break on that note, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about that. And I'm going to play one of my favorite songs here for you. It's called Time for a Change by Here to Here, and that's what I'm hoping we're doing here tonight, is creating a change internally and externally. Enjoy.
Where my heroes at? Where my soldiers at? Where my presidents and citizens and all their jazz? Where my artists at? Where my dreamers at? Where my activists and hippie chicks and I know that we can do it, we can change the world. I know that we can be it, we can be the change we like to see.
You're listening to UR Radio. This is Louisa Dyer, and our show tonight is Conscious Co-Creating, Tools to Empower You. For those of you who are just joining us, we are talking about Eckhart Tolle's book, A New Earth, and specifically about the pain body, the individual and the collective pain body, and what that means and how to work with it, and really how to allow ourselves to be free of some of that old negative emotion that doesn't really have a lot to do with who we are, who we want to be. And before we actually get into talking about how to clear that, there's a really important thing to understand here that I would like everyone to hear, and that's about the collective female pain body. And there's collective pain bodies for pretty much any group of people that has been oppressed. So you could talk about the collective pain body of African Americans or Native Americans or Jewish people. But Tolle takes a special look at the collective female pain body. And I think it's worth talking about a little bit, because it's a lot of how the ego has been able to take control and take over our world. And I'm just going to read a little bit from what he says, because I think it's so interesting and important, actually, to know this, so that when we're dealing with the pain body, first of all, we don't have to take it so personally. Quote, "The suppression of the feminine principle, especially over the past 2,000 years, has enabled the ego to gain absolute supremacy in the collective human psyche. Although women have egos, of course, the ego can take root and grow more easily in the male form than in the female. This is because women are less mind-identified than men. They are much more in touch with the inner body and the intelligence of the organism where the intuitive faculties originate. The female form is less rigidly encapsulated than the male, has greater openness and sensitivity toward other life forms, and is more attuned to the natural world. If the balance between male and female energies had not been destroyed on our planet, the ego's growth would have been greatly curtailed. We would not have declared war on nature, and we would not be so completely alienated from our being. This is not the fault of men. That's an important thing to understand. This is not the fault of men. This is not the fault of women. This is actually ego. Ego created this because, and again, I'm going to quote from Tolle, "Ego knew it could gain control of our planet only through the male form, and to do so, it had to render the female powerless. In time, the ego also took over most women, although it could never become as deeply entrenched in them as in men. We now have a situation in which the suppression of the feminine has become internalized, even in most women. The sacred feminine, because it is suppressed, is felt by many women as emotional pain. In fact, it has become part of their pain body, together with the accumulated pain suffered by women over millennia through childbirth, rape, slavery, torture, and violent death. But things are changing rapidly now. With many people becoming more conscious, the ego is losing its hold on the human mind. Because the ego was never as deeply rooted in woman, it is losing its hold on women more quickly than on men." And so I wanted to read that so that women can understand that a lot of what you deal with when you're looking at your pain body isn't even your stuff. It's just old stuff. It's the same as anybody who's looking at the ego or looking at the pain body. You're actually dealing with the collective pain, the collective suffering of humanity. And that makes it easier, I think, to be present with it rather than becoming identified with it or falling into it. So what Tolle's talking about really in these chapters is how to do that, how to break free of that deep, dark, gross sort of emotional place where we all know and we've all been in. And what he says is that the beginning of freedom from the pain body lies first of all in the realization that you have a pain body, then more important, in your ability to stay present enough, alert enough, to notice the pain body in yourself as a heavy influx of negative emotion when it becomes active. And when it's recognized, it can no longer pretend to be you. And that way it can't live and renew itself through you. The pain body loves to suffer, and so it's going to figure out ways to suffer. But when you get present with it, what happens is the energy that was trapped in the pain body actually changes its vibrational frequency, and then it gets transmuted into presence. And in that way, the pain body literally becomes fuel for consciousness. Tolle says that that's why many of the wisest, most enlightened men and women on our planet once had a heavy pain body. So there's no judgment to be had there, heavy pain body, light pain body. If you have a heavy pain body, there's just much more likelihood you're going to do something about it because you can't live with it. You pretty much have to do something about it because you cannot live with it. And in the greater scheme of things, Tolle says this, David Hawkins says this, most spiritual teachers say that humans are destined to evolve. We're meant to evolve into more conscious beings. And so we're going to come into alignment with that. Because the truth is at the highest level of reality, we can't be out of alignment with the universe. And so that suffering that we feel, that is the pain body, it has its place in the larger picture because it really, really motivates us to grow. And Tolle says that actually the very reason for our existence in human form is to bring that dimension of consciousness that he calls presence into this world. And, you know, that's really a wonderful purpose, I think. So he spends a great deal of time in this book talking about pain bodies in children. And I think any parent would really benefit from reading this book, and especially that part of it. Because when kids have pain body attacks, if you can be present with them, then they can learn to be present with themselves, and therefore the pain body goes away. But you cannot be present for your child unless you know how to be present for yourself. And so that's really what the book is teaching, is how to do that, how to be present with yourself. And so not all unhappiness, I want to make sure we make a point out of this, not all unhappiness actually comes from the pain body. Some of it's new unhappiness that gets created whenever we're out of alignment with the present moment. And that's the other thing that this book is really about, is about being present in the moment. Because when you're present in the moment, not only are you not creating more pain body, but you are happy. You feel good because there's no arguing going on. If you're not present, then you're looking at your present moment experience through the eyes of that pain body, through the eyes of that emotional past. And if you're completely trapped in that thought or that emotion from the past, if you're really caught in that pain body, then stepping outside of it doesn't even seem possible because you don't even know that there is an outside. You think that what's going on and your reaction to it is the only thing that is going on, that's like the only reaction that you could possibly have. And so there are lots of triggers for the pain body, but really, the pain body doesn't even need a trigger. But the thing to know, and the thing to remember, and the thing to practice, is that every time you are present when the pain body arises, then some of the pain body's negative emotional energy burns up, and it literally becomes transmuted, changed into presence. And the rest of the pain body actually withdraws and just waits for a better opportunity to come back. It waits for when you're less conscious, would be a good way to say that. And that better opportunity, you know, comes when you lose presence, maybe after you've had a few drinks, or if you're watching something scary, or you're having an argument with a friend or a spouse, or the tiniest negative emotion can trigger the pain body if we're not present. If we are present, then nothing really can trigger it, because the pain body can't tolerate the light that presence is. And so when you first look at the pain body, the thing you have to do is know that it's a good thing that you can see it, because it's easy to get into judgment and think, oh my God, I'm never going to wake up or be aware or be enlightened because of this pain body. And as long as it really controls you and your thinking and you know, creates this toxic field that you walk around in, then, you know, that's going to be true. But what happens is pretty soon you can't stand it, and you do something about it. And so people with strong pain bodies often reach a point where they're just like, look, I can't do this anymore. I have got to stop. And they do. And so the pain body actually becomes an awakener. And you can really see this in children when they learn how to be present with whatever's going on with them instead of just acting it out. It really is a beautiful thing to watch. And so again, I'll just say that what it is just to be aware of negative emotion when it arises. Somebody sent in something on Facebook about emotion follows thought. And that is almost always true. That's how the ego works. However, when the pain body actually gets triggered, it's the other way around starts happening, because there's so much negative emotion coming up that it creates this feedback loop in the brain, and all the negative emotion starts having negative thoughts with it. And then the negative thoughts then create and feed more negative emotion. And so sometimes you can be fine. You can be feeling fine. You can be thinking fine. You cannot be doing any negative thinking whatsoever. And all of a sudden, this influx of negative energy will happen. That's the pain body. And if you stay present instead of start telling stories about it, that's what you have to do. You have to resist the impulse to think about what you're experiencing and instead just get present with the experience. So all of a sudden you have this dreadful, horrible, you know, oh my God, the world is falling apart feeling in your belly. Okay? So instead of talking about it or telling stories about it in your head, just notice the sensation. That's what it means to stay present. You give up the thinking, the telling the story, and you just notice the sensation. You just become aware of what's happening in the body. And as you just be aware of it without thinking about it, presence transmutes the pain body. And again, I'm going to read a little bit where Tolle's talking about breaking free of the pain body. He says, a question people frequently ask is, how long does it take to become free of the pain body? The answer is, of course, that it depends on the density of an individual's pain body, as well as the degree or intensity of that individual's arising presence. But it is not the pain body, but identification with it that causes the suffering that you inflict on yourself and others. It's not the pain body, but it's identification with the pain body that forces you to relive the past again and again and again and keeps you in a state of unconsciousness. So a more important question to ask would be this: how long does it take to become free of identification with the pain body? And the answer to that question is, it takes no time at all. It's the knowing that prevents the old emotion from rising up into your head and taking over not only the internal dialogue, but all of your actions. And so it's just the knowing, oh, that's the pain body. That's what it is to break free from it. It's just literally becoming aware of it. Knowing that that emotion is not who you are. It might not be pleasant. The sensations might not be pleasant. And you might not even like it, but it's in you. You might as well face it. Your presence is more than capable of containing it. And so just the knowing of that makes it possible. And so when you feel that pain body coming up, it's like, don't make the mistake of thinking that there's something wrong with you. Making yourself into a problem, now the ego loves that. You're just going to get a lot more ego when you do that. What needs to happen is, when you know that's the pain body showing up, accept it. That's the trick. Anything else will just obscure it again and you'll go right into ego or pain body. But accepting it means that you allow yourself to feel whatever it is you are feeling in the moment. You're accepting the isness. You're accepting the reality of what's going on inside of you. You can't argue with what is. Well, as Byron Katie will tell you, certainly you can. But you're going to lose every time, and it hurts. So through allowing, through accepting what you're noticing inside of you, through just being present with it, what you notice is you're so much bigger than what it is, that you're actually vast, you're spacious, that you are a whole being. You're not a fragment, which is what the ego is and how it perceives itself. And so that's really all there is to it, is, well, one way to say that is know thyself. That's been a teaching in spiritual traditions for a very long time. Know thyself. What does that mean? How do you know yourself? You can't, knowing about yourself, knowing what you like, knowing what you do, knowing, you know, that's about yourself. That's very different from knowing who you are. The only way you can know who you are is by sitting in silence, in stillness, until you access that core, peace, quiet, beautiful place inside of you. And that space is vast. That's presence. I call it the God spark or the high self or the true self, divinity within. That's who you really are. But knowing that in your head is not the same thing at all as actually experiencing that, having a felt experience of knowing the core of your being. And that's really what bringing presence to pain body, letting presence transcend ego and transmute the pain body, that's really the point of it, is so that we actually get to be aware of this much higher vibration inside of us that is joyful and is happy and is peaceful and loves to love and loves life. That's what we miss when we're caught in what the ego's doing, what the pain body's doing. And so there's lots of tools out there for knowing how to be present with the pain body. One of my favorite tools is actually a process that I helped co-create with one of my dearest friends, Laura Tirolia, and that's called the WOW process. And really, that's what the WOW process is it's a way to be present with the pain body. It's a way to be present with whatever the stories are that we've been telling ourselves, and letting presence literally rewire what happens inside of our psyches. And so it's just another way to get present. There's lots of ways to do that. What happens with this pain body is it gets caught in various levels of our being. It gets caught in our emotional self. It gets caught in our physical self. It gets caught in our visual system. It gets caught in all the different senses that we have. And so that's part of what WOW does, is it takes you through all the different senses so that that can be cleared out of all those different places where we've been holding that old energy that we don't want to hold anymore. And so when you really sit with who you really are and you look at your life, you can tell what really matters to you by what your actions are and what your reactions to things going on are. Because what matters to us is not necessarily what we say or what we believe, but what our actions and reactions reveal. I can't remember where I read it, but I loved it. It's like you say you want peace, but then you choose a less than peaceful response. So that says you don't really want peace, or at least not enough of you wants peace. A part of you wants peace, but clearly some part of you, and this is the pain body, doesn't want peace. The pain body wants to suffer. That's what keeps the pain body alive. The pain body literally needs to feed. And so it will find drama. It will create drama. It will find pain and suffering to keep itself alive. Fortunately, it cannot stand the light of presence. So all you have to do is get present. You can do that with WOW. You can do that with your breath. You can do that by learning how to just sit and be present with whatever sensations are going on in your body. And that's what getting present is. In one way, it is the simplest thing in the world. In another way, it's the hardest thing we will ever do. Because everything in our world that ego has created and that ego says is important pulls us away from that essential nature that we are. Because ego, of course, is unconscious, and ego doesn't want us to become conscious. Not because it's evil, it isn't. Not because it's even malicious, it's not. It's just unconscious, and it doesn't want to end. And ego knows enough to know that if we actually get present, ego ends. That's just all there is to it. Because ego doesn't live in the present moment. Ego lives in the past or the future. So when we're in the present moment, ego is not there. And so ego works really hard to keep us out of the present moment. But the really good thing here is ego doesn't like to suffer. The ego is always trying to figure out what to do with the suffering that's going on in the pain body. And it comes up with all sorts of plans, comes up with all sorts of strategies. Oh, I could do this, I could do that, what about this, what about that? And you know what? If that worked, it would be super. But it doesn't. And the reason it doesn't work is actually because of something Einstein said a really long time ago, and every spiritual teacher has reiterated it in some form or the other. You cannot solve a problem from the same level at which the problem was created. And so if the problem is thinking or ego, then ego cannot solve the problem. If the problem is pain body, which is part of the ego, even though they sort of have distinct functions, nonetheless they work well together, the pain body cannot be resolved from an ego level, from a thought level. You cannot figure out what to do with emotion and make it work. Because first of all, emotions aren't rational in the first place. So logic doesn't work. You have to do something that is different in order to address it. And that's what consciousness is. Consciousness is a much higher vibration than thought or feeling. And that consciousness, that presence, that awareness, that's power. And you bring power. And then the ego and the pain body, they just dissolve. And so whatever tools that you can find to assist you in that process, then those are the tools that you ought to use if they work for you. And so somebody had asked me something about talking about abundance. And I think that's a really important thing to talk about when we're talking about the pain body. Because if you're caught in the pain body, abundance is a really hard thing to open up to. Because acknowledging the good that's already in your life, that's the foundation for all abundance. And if you think the world is withholding from you, then in reality, you're withholding from the world. And you're withholding because deep down, you feel small or you think you're small and that you have nothing to give. And so Tolle gives a little exercise to actually deal with that, to, again, this is working directly with the pain body and with the ego, but it's also opening you up to a greater abundance. He says this. He says, try this for a couple of weeks and see how it changes your reality. Whatever you think people are withholding from you, praise, appreciation, assistance, loving care, whatever, give it to them. You don't have it? Just act as if you had it, and it will come. Then, soon after you start giving, you will start receiving. You cannot receive what you don't give. Outflow determines inflow. Whatever you think the world is withholding from you, you already have. But unless you allow it to flow out, you won't even know that you have it. This includes abundance. The law that outflow determines inflow is expressed by Jesus in this powerful image. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. The source of all abundance is not outside of you. It's part of who you are. But you have to start by acknowledging and recognizing that abundance in your life. See the fullness of life all around you, the warmth of the sun on your skin, the display of magnificent flowers outside a florist shop, biting into a succulent fruit, or getting soaked in an abundance of water falling from the sky. The point is that he's talking about really paying attention to the fullness that is. And he makes a very clear statement that every spiritual teacher I've studied says in one form or the other, and that is, abundance comes only to those who already have it. It sounds almost unfair, but of course it isn't. It's a universal law. Both abundance and scarcity are inner states that manifest as your reality. And so that's the point. That's the reason, I would say. That's one of the primary purpose in letting presence transmute the pain body or help you transcend ego. Because when you're stuck in the ego or the pain body, you cannot experience that abundance. Not in the way that you can when you open to something much, much, much greater than the ego or the pain body. And so a lot of times, I've worked with people for many, many years, and a lot of times what I notice is that people are afraid of knowing themselves. And part of what they're afraid of is they're afraid that they're going to find out that they're bad somehow inside, that they're not enough, or that they're too much, or that they're bad somehow. And that fear is, that's the ego, that's the pain body. What you can know is that's a collective condition of ego within the human race. It really doesn't have anything to do with you. And I can promise you that if you actually take the time and you have the courage and the willingness to go inside and just sit with what's in you. It doesn't matter how big, bad, and ugly it seems to be at first. If you sit with it, you will begin to notice something so much more beautiful and powerful and vast that lives inside of you than whatever that was. Because that's who you are. And that's like the nature of reality. That we have this incredible divinity inside of us. It's life itself. And what the pain body is doing is just what it was designed to do. We didn't deal with our emotions when they came up. We stuffed them. They had to go somewhere. They created this whole energy field that we're now calling the pain body. It's just a name for a part of us that's unconscious. The same thing with ego. Ego has created all these structures in the world that we've become identified with. And we've become identified with our thoughts. And so that identification with form has taken us away from identification with our own core, true essence. And yet that essence, that life, is within every single living person. It cannot not be there. If that life wasn't there, that person would be what we call dead. And anyone who has ever been around a human body that no longer has life in it can see that right away, that there is no mistaking a body that no longer has life in it. Even if before the spirit left it, it was, you know, in a comatose state, barely breathing, the minute life goes out of that body, it is so obvious. And so until the life goes out of that body, the life is in that body. What is that life? What is that? That's what I call God. That's what I call source energy. That is presence. When presence is in us, we are what we call alive. When presence is not in us, we're what we call dead. So until we are what we call dead, what we're going to find when we go inside, if we're willing, is presence, is life, is that source energy. And that one decision that can change your entire reality. But it's a decision that you have to make again and again and again and again to get present, to be present with your pain body, with your ego, with your negative emotion, with whatever's painful. You just have to keep getting present with it over and over until at some point you're more aware of being identified with presence than you are with the suffering. And the suffering becomes less and less until it really isn't a problem anymore. Toll says that one of the best ways to create that for yourself is to ask yourself frequently, what is my relationship with the present moment? And then become alert to find out the answer. Are you in the present moment? Are you in the now? In a friendly way? Do you just see it as a means to an end? Do you see it as an obstacle? Have you somehow made it an enemy? Or are you really in the moment, right here and right now? What's your relationship with life? It's an excellent way to unmask the ego and bring you into that state of presence. And so I'm going to close actually here by again reading a little bit about what he says. How do you go beyond a dysfunctional relationship with the present moment? The most important thing is to see it in yourself, in your thoughts and your actions. In the moment of seeing, of noticing that your relationship with the now is dysfunctional, you are present. The seeing is the arising presence. The moment you see the dysfunction, it begins to dissolve. Some people laugh out loud when they see this. When the seeing, with the seeing, comes the power of choice. The choice of saying yes to now, of making it into your friend. And that, my friends, is how you eliminate that suffering that the pain body has been living on, probably for your whole life. Unhappiness and negativity is a disease on our planet. It pollutes our inner levels, like all the pollution in the external world pollutes the outer world. The ego is much more interested in self-preservation than it is in truth. And so another way to transcend the ego is to remind yourself as many times a day as is helpful, I am willing to know the truth. I release all fear of knowing the truth. That's a wonderful way to come into alignment with the truth of who you are, is to release all fear of knowing that truth, to release all fear of knowing what is, of being actually in yourself in the moment. And so that's where we're going to close. I thank you so much for listening. I've had a wonderful time. Again, I want to let you know that you're listening to UR Radio, which is a part of Western North Carolina Community Media Center. And our show is called Conscious Co-Creating, Tools to Empower You. And we're here every Thursday evening from 8 to 9 p.m. That's Eastern Time. And I hope you join me next week. We're going to continue talking about awakening to your life's purpose and being part of creating this new earth. And I'm going to actually go to the Facebook page that's been up and running this whole time, but I haven't had the wherewithal to interact with. So if you want to interact some more on Facebook, I'm going to be there for a little while as soon as I cue up some music. And so, Happy New Year. Get present. Accept what is. Love yourself. And I love you all, and I'm very happy to be here. I hope you have a wonderful evening. I'm going to leave you with a song that will hopefully help you take a moment and be present. And that is a song called Sunshine by Billy McLaughlin. Enjoy. I'll see you next week.